Hey everybody, and welcome to Authors and Dragons, where a group of comedic fantasy writers get together and try to make it through a whole game of Pathfinder without accidentally dying. Let's see if we pull it off this week. As always, the odds do not look great.
Hi everybody, I'm John Hartness, and I'll be playing the role of Fandingo the Fantastical, combat useless bard and relentless Lotharia. In real life, I'm the author of the Black Knight Chronicles urban fantasy series, the Bubba the Monster Hunter comedic horror stories, and the Quincy Harker Demon Hunter dark fantasy series. And all of that and more can be found on my web presence at johnhartness.com.
Hi, I'm Rick Gualtieri, and I play Silas Kane / the Mysterious Arrow of the Gods. In real life, I write the Tome of Bill horror comedy series, the horror novel Bigfoot Hunters, and I currently have some new stuff in the works, Lycan Moon, Midnight's Daughter, and Get Bent, all coming soon, hopefully.
Hello, my name is Robert Bevan. I play the role of Klaus Richter, the Notorious Rogue. In real life, I write the Caverns and Creatures series of comedy fantasy lit RPG novels and short stories, starting with the first book, Critical Failures.
Hi there, my name's Steve Weverell. I play Brandon Finemaster, doer of deeds and seducer of trees. In real life, I write the comedy fantasy series of Doomsayer Journeys.
I am Drew Hayes, and while normally I'm the GM, for this week I am just here for support and voices or whatever else is needed. I write books like Superpowers, NPCs, Fred the Vampire Count, and the new release, Forging Hephaestus. And this week I am sponsored by Unexpected Boners. Yes, from a classroom to a boardroom, an unexpected boner can ruin a presentation anywhere.
I suddenly don't want to play anymore.
I want to go play a different game now. All by myself.
And I'm Nick Olivo. I'm the guest GM this week. I'm the author of the Callborn Urban Fantasy series and the Supernatural Pulp series, the Doc Greystone Adventures. And I'm really excited to get going tonight. Are you guys all ready to begin?
Sure.
Yeah.
We heard that you had a plan, and I immediately said, a plan? We can fuck that up.
This is suspicious.
You're on the boat, as usual. We're moving up towards an island. And this one is small. It's maybe 10 or 12 acres. It's not much. And it appears to be mostly swamp and dead trees. And from the shore, or up on the shore, you can see a very small shack and a very older path winding up from that shack into the swamp beyond. And Footstool is, he says, all right, listen up. I only want to have to say this once, because the less I have to talk to you people, the better. The water around this island is too shallow to take the ship in, but the island's sole inhabitant will be out to take you there in his boat. His name is Jeb, and we deliver supplies to him about once a month. Here he comes now. And you can see an older man with a rough beard and leathery skin rowing out toward the boat, or in a small boat. And it takes him a moment to get up onto the boat, but once he does, he kind of dusts himself off, and he looks over at you, and he says, more adventure. A little island attracts your kind like moths to a flame. Seems I can't go but 2 or 3 days without getting another group of folks looking to find the lost treasure that's out there.
So when you say treasure, are we talking money or girls?
Oh, or potentially money, gold.
Enlighten him by Torag.
Got some stories about that one, I tell you. Well, now, you look like an inquisitive bunch. Sounds like you'd be interested in the treasures out there. There's gold, there's gems, probably even some trinkets that you might be interested in if you're the adventuring sort. Why don't we talk about it on the boat? Get back to the island. Sound like a plan?
Sure.
All right.
Why are we getting on this boat?
Money.
Just go with it, dude.
Because, Silas, the more money that we get, the better places we can travel to spread the glory of Torag.
Now you're talking.
All right. So Footstool helps Jeb load some crates and sacks into his little boat there. And as he's doing that, everybody give me a perception check, please.
All right. The first failure of the night. Silas rolls a 19.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Klaus right. rolls a natural 1.
Klaus has some dirt in his eye. That's okay. No problem.
Brandon Fivester also rolls a natural 1.
Wow. Okay.
None of us know why we're getting on this boat. Just
Well, okay. And Fandango, do you have a roll for that one?
Fandango right. rolls an 11.
All right. So Fandango and Silas, you both notice that Jeb's rope belt is actually made from a hangman's noose. And as he's loading stuff onto the boat, and he looks at you and says, "All right, let's get going, boys. Come on now."
Not 100% sure I want to go in a boat with this guy.
Here, allow me, Fandango. Silas would turn to the man and be like, "That belt around your waist, have you used it to hang blasphemers of Toreg?"
Well, now, that's an interesting story. When I was a boy, my brother was run down in the street by who'd actually stolen the coffers from the Temple of Toreg. And when the constables hung him. And I thought that was one of the most beautiful sights I'd ever seen.
All right, I'm in. Silas just takes a seat right in the boat.
The executioner gave me this piece of noose as a souvenir. I don't go anywhere without it.
Yeah, the last time we met anybody this creepy, he had a cloak. That worked out okay. Fandango gets in the boat.
Anyone who hangs those against Toreg is good in my is okay in my book.
Well, he seems to be keeping Silas occupied, so that's a plus.
Holy shit! There's a boat here. I'm in.
All right.
Oh God! There's something for him to fall out of.
So as Jeb rows you back to the island, he tells you a little story about the island. And he says, "See, this island has an old cursed temple on it. Legends say it was built hundreds of years ago by the cult of Rovagug. Anyway, these cultists killed lots of people. Footstool mentioned you were looking for your friend, and I do recall a dwarf coming through here not all that long ago. We didn't talk. Someone else brought him over to the island on a skiff, but I did wave to him as he went up the path leading to the temple. It's entirely
did he wave back?
He's still up there. Say again?
Did he wave back?
He did. It was very polite.
Wasn't our guy.
Yeah.
So you're saying that's an old temple to Rovagug?
Is correct, son.
All right, let's go burn it!
How about we maybe cleanse it, Silas? Maybe we can offer up some prayers of Toreg, and we can see if there's any money floating around.
All right, so Jeb Rose, he takes maybe 15 minutes or so, and he gets you back to the island, and you help him pull the boat up onto the sand, tie the boat off to a post, and he says, "All right, now I'm going to be carrying this stuff back into my shack. And I need some quiet time. You understand that Footstool just gave me 3 new crates of elvish porn that I plan on spending some quality time with. So you boys head on up to the temple, and I'll be here if you need me at the end. If you get banged up or anything, I have some minor healing techniques I can help you out with. But in the meantime, good luck, and Toreg protect you there, boy."
Can we wait, hold up here, boys. There was porn on that boat, and Footstool didn't share. This seems like a way bigger problem. This bothers no one else.
Anybody notice anybody missing?
I got a natural 1. Nope. I'm still only vaguely aware that I've been on a boat.
I seem to recall a blue, dick-faced, bearded fellow.
Yeah, he was really hungover this morning. I thought he might have puked, like, in your armor if we tried to bring him with us.
In my head canon, Bjork's just been completely off his face since that legal document. He's just clinging to the bow of the ship, kind of just mumbling to himself for the past 2 days.
He's, like, smoking the sails right now.
And he's still looking up, terrified that something's going to attack him from the skies. Yeah. That's
Bjork.
Yeah.
It
right, stopped so being path... fun getting him to draw things on his face. He's so damn high.
All right, so you've got a gravel path leading up into the the island a little further. You've got the shack, which is now all closed up and the window blinds are drawn. You may not want to go and see what he's up to. And then you've got some swamp area. What do you guys want to do?
I'm going to head away from the masturbator, please.
Done. All right.
I don't know what you guys are doing. You do what you like. Just I'm going in an opposite direction.
Did Captain Wanker tell us what direction the treasure lie?
Up the path.
Well, I appreciate the fact that I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but we can hang here on the beach with the guy tossing his own salad, or we can go up the path.
I'm all about up the path.
Yes, what we need to burn is up the path.
Have you been hanging out with Bjork again?
It's everything.
It's an evil temple. This is what we do to evil temples.
I'd like to roll my own knowledge of religion rather than relying on Silas's estimate. That didn't do too well for his last time.
Sure, so go for it.
Oh, roll a 20.
Wow, holy cow. All right.
That was an unexpectedly good roll.
That was a brilliant roll. Not only do you know about Rovagug, you were like all Master of Jeopardy on him there. So you know that Rovagug is one of the main evil gods in the Pantheon, and he is an arch enemy of Torag, which would explain why Silas is so agitated about him. Oh, and
he's usually agitated.
This wouldn't be justified in said agitation. This particular deity is all about essentially making the world into a terrible and horrible place, killing the dancing on the ashes. So, like Torag Light.
It's like he and Torag are in a foot race to fuck up the world the most.
Well, you got to understand, my religion is kind of like, you know, Torag worship, you know, revised version.
Very specific sect.
Yes, splinter sect, as a matter of fact. Yeah. All right. So we're heading up the path to the temple. Okay. So after an hour-ish hike up the path, which wasn't too bad, you know, mostly gravel terrain, you reach the temple grounds. And so we have a series of obsidian columns that are visible. Each is about 4 feet high, and they lead up to the temple
door. Does obsidian burn?
We'll find out. The tops of these columns are concave, and water is gathered in them. Birds flit back and forth among some of the columns, using them like bird bats. And the temple itself is a single-story structure that has no windows, and only the only entrance, is a massive stone door that you can see up ahead.
Are there any birds in the lake, you know, in the columns now, bathing in evil?
Couple in I'm going to try and ping this one. There's one in the first.
It could very well be, yeah.
Yep.
Normally I'd ignore Silas at this point, but they could very well be evil bird bats.
Take them out.
Given what I know from reading religious comic books, or however it is I got my knowledge of Rovagund.
Yes, the Rovagug 1 through 6.
Rovagug, that's the one. Sorry.
Rubber ducky?
You were all about that. So you're going to try and immolate the bird bath. Is that the plan?
No, I'm going to shoot arrows at the birds.
You're going to shoot arrows at the birds. Brilliant. All right, you lining up and shooting?
You know something? If they're taking a bath here, those things are fucking evil.
All right.
This would normally be the time that I would give him a lot of shit for this, but he's the only one who realized that the harpies were evil, so I got nothing, y'all.
All right, Silas, you lining up a shot, or what's happening?
How many birds are there?
There's two.
Okay, one for each of them.
Okay. So,
all right,
you...
so 12 AC and 23 AC.
Yep. Basically, when the arrows hit these little birds, they explode. I mean, there's just feathers floating through the air now.
Thank you, Torag!
And Torag, I'm sure, is smiling down upon you for slaughtering the birds in the bird bath, so, cool.
We win. This place purged of evil pigeons.
They did look ferocious, I will say.
Whatever is going to poop on your head, dude, I don't want to be anywhere near it.
All right. Fantastic. So you've destroyed the birds. Now what happens?
Well, Silas will walk up to the door.
Defendigo's going to stay the fuck back in case the door blows up.
Okay, well, the door doesn't blow up. I'm sorry, Robert, did you have a question?
Yeah, is the door the only entrance, or is this like a crumbling ruin where there's like holes in the wall or stuff, or what?
Door is the only entrance. The temple is in pretty good shape, all in all. It looks pretty solid, and you don't see any other ways in.
All right. No.
What are you saying there, Klaus? Go ahead.
No, nothing. I was asking you to keep going.
All right. When close to that particular fountain, though, Rick, what happens is an ooze jumps out and latches onto your head. The ooze around your face. You are blinded, deafened, nauseated, and you can only hold your breath for a couple of minutes.
Thank you, Torg!
So, all right. So,
where did the ooze come from?
It jumped out of the fount, out of the font that was.
Font.
And actually, it's. I gotta try and.
So it jumped out of it jumped out one of the bird baths.
Yeah, and I'm trying to. I can't get the token to display. I'm not sure.
Once I get this off, I'm gonna look to Brandon and be like, "Told you they were evil bird baths."
All right, so let's all have an initiative check, shall we?
Fandinga rolls a 20 for initiative.
Wow! All right.
Silas rolled a 24.
All right, cool. And let's see.
Oh, Klaus rolls a natural 20. That's a 27.
Wow. All right.
Some badass
rolls. Great initiative.
God.
If your only action is to laugh at him, then it's a wasted initiative.
Now, I've already done that as a free action.
Yeah, we did that before it was time to check initiative.
Okay, so, all right, there we go.
Brandon Firemaster rolls a 14.
All right, so that means that, and Brandon Firemaster 14. Brilliant, and the ooze has an 8. Okay, so Klaus.
Okay, Klaus would like to, if I'm going to do a rapid shot, that's going to be, I don't get to move, right?
We're all thinking the same thing.
All right. I guess I don't get my point blank then. Let me check the measurements real quick. Here's Klaus. 25 feet, 30 feet. Short.
Klaus, or Robert, you can take a 5-foot step and still do that.
Oh, sweet. I'm taking a 5-foot step.
All right.
All right.
Yes, that's 5 feet.
Here we go. 5 foot stepping and rapid shot and point blank.
That 5 foot's going to make all the difference when you try and shoot the slime off of his face.
All right.
Roll the attack.
19 and a. I rolled a 19 and a 21.
Okay. So that's good for the ooze, but the downside is there's a 50% chance of hitting Silas.
As well as the ooze, or in place of the ooze?
in place of the ooze.
Because we were following that as bonus.
All right, so I'm going to roll a D100. Right. You're going to call high or low, okay?
All right. High.
High, okay. 49. Ooh. Okay, so... Silas, what's your AC?
No, wait. Was he saying he was trying to hit the ooze or trying to hit me?
Good question, actually. Let's clarify ooze. That. Ooze, okay.
I was trying to hit the ooze, yeah.
All right, well, a 19 would hit me because I have an 18 AC.
Okay, so that's
we're not doing two separate high-low rolls?
Okay, we can do two. Sure.
All right. Well, Silas gets 4 points of damage. I'm going to go high again.
Okay, you got it this time with 79. All right. Take 4 points of damage, Silas.
Thank you, Torig.
All right. So that was Klaus's turn. Silas, you're up next.
Okay. Well, I...
Deaf
ooze
and...
Did the ooze look affected by the 6 points of damage?
The ooze is scoffing at you right now. It is not... No. Any damage from that.
Oh.
Silas,
all right, I'll try again.
Silas will reach out until he can find that column next to him, and then he will bash his face into it as hard as he can.
Oh, boy. Okay. Well, I'll say that's a 1d3 of damage, and I'll give you you can't miss. So roll me 1d3 there, Rick, and let's see what you do to the ooze.
Oh, fuck. Hold on. I'm doing a d4. 2 points.
2 points. All right, we'll take that. All right. Cool.
You're pretty sure.
Silas banging his head against the wall. Again, that's in character.
Very much so. All right, Brandon Symaster. No, I'm sorry, Fandango, you're up next.
Fandango is going to take a 5-foot step, and then he's going to cast a spell.
Ooh, what are we
gonna
casting?
We're going to cast Blistering Invective. I'm going to
insult the thing to death.
Ooze so hard that it bursts into flame.
Okay, one quick question about that before you do. Is that a mind-affecting effect?
It's a reflex save, and spell resistance can negate it.
Okay, but it's not a mind-affecting thing? Okay, cool. Making sure it'll affect the ooze. Okay, go
for it. It makes an intimidate check to demoralize enemies.
How all moralized right. is
hold,
it?
Hold on. Let me look it up.
I mean, even if it's not going to work, I'm going to do it, because...
Yeah, it doesn't say anything about mind affecting.
All right.
Okay, cool. Go for it.
Your ass is so slimy. Every time you take a step, you leave a trail behind like a strip of pole on the two lap dances for a dollar night.
Oh, that's on Silas's face, dude.
And Silas is really glad he didn't hear that.
And that leads to my intimidate check. And the intimidate check is a... Fandango rolls an 18 for his intimidate check.
Yep, that'll work.
So so the ooze is demoralized. It has to take the ooze has to make a reflex save or it catches fire.
All right, what are we looking for a target there?
Well,
face.
Oh, the DC is. The DC is 16.
All right, the user rolls an 8, so he did not make that. Go ahead, roll down.
And the ooze will take 8 points of damage, and then it's on fire.
Nice.
And demoralized.
Okay, so.
I'm kind of getting demoralized here.
So now you have burning slime on your head.
So he's got a burning slime on his head, a burning slime that feels bad about itself on its head.
Yeah.
The slime is questioning his choices while Brandon Thymaster steps. What are you doing, Brandon?
I'm going to help. I'm going to put the flaming ooze out with the broom of doom.
okay.
So I will take a broom strike. Wow.
If we had a video of this battle, it would go viral.
he sweeps his broom at Silas's head for 25.
Wow. Okay, that's definitely a hit. All right, I got to roll a D100, call high or low, okay?
Okie doke.
All right, call it.
High.
82, all right, that hits the ooze. Good stuff. That's 3 points of damage to the ooze.
I think that's enough.
Brilliant.
One. Yeah.
All right, we come back around. Klaus, it is your turn. What are you doing?
My turn?
Yep.
All right, my arrow's My arrow didn't seem to do anything to the ooze, correct?
Correct.
All right, I'm going to go at it with some magic.
Oh, all right.
I'm going to use my wizard powers, and I'm going to hit it with a jolt. That's okay. A 25-foot range.
And it's so a touch attack, right?
I have to move another 5 feet. No, it's a range touch attack.
Okay, yep.
What does that even mean? I just got to throw a jolt at it?
Pretty much, yeah. It's a lower AC that you have to beat, so that's a good thing.
Okay. All right, I moved my 5 feet, and right. I'm going to jolt the ooze.
All right, cool. So let's go ahead again. You got to roll a D100 to see if... Oh, go ahead.
Okay, going high. Well, I'll roll the damage first.
Okay.
All right. Now roll the damage. Now roll the damage. See what I do to Silas. It's 1 to 3. Here we go. All right. I do 3 points of damage to Silas.
And that metal armor you're wearing, isn't it? That's going to make it even worse. Oh, man. Okay.
It's leather armor I'm wearing.
Oh, it is? Okay, good. It's very shiny in your avatar. Okay. Brilliant. All right, so that's Klaus's turn. Silas, it's your turn. The ooze has been on you for a whole turn. Now you take 1d4 points of acid damage, which... Okay, 3 points of acid damage to you there.
Thank you, Torrig!
And now it's your turn. What are you doing?
Smash my face into the pillar again.
Hey, roll me a... Let's do a 1d... Go ahead and do 1d4. Worth of damage.
What do you what?
1d4.
3.
Wearing it down. Good stuff. All right. Fandango the Fantastic.
Keep it up, Silas. You're doing well.
All right. Fandango. Let me check the range on this real quick. All right. Fandango is going to move forward 5 feet. Does that get me there?
Okay.
No, that doesn't. Wait, hold on. Different spell. Ear-piercing scream. Oh, yeah. We're definitely close enough for that. All right, Fandango is going to whip out his thick, long, throbbing guitar and shred a power chord and cast ear-piercing scream at the... ooze.
All right.
It is an inaudible scream to everything but the single target.
Awesome. Okay.
And it will take... It's a fortitude save for half damage with a DC of 19.
All right. Okay, he makes a 21 for half damage, so roll your damage there.
All right. Rolls a 7. Fandango rolls a 7 for damage, so... All right.
Made the save, so it's 3 points of damage to the ooze. All right. You're wearing it down, guys. Brendan Thighmaster, you've got your broom. What are you
still
doing?
Still helping.
All right.
Yep. Broom strike. I want to shout words of encouragement to Silas. Don't worry, everything's fine. Klaus is definitely aiming for the ooze. Probably.
I declared that.
Boom, deals 6 points of damage. Nice work. All right, Klaus.
Hold on, the ooze.
On the ropes. What are you doing?
On the ooze's turn, it's still on fire.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it caught fire, and it took 1d10 for the first round, and then it's on fire, and then it's burning from the blistering.
Oh, okay. Infected. All right, roll me another. All right, cool. Roll me another D10 for the damage there.
That's 4.
Wearing it down. Almost there. All right, Klaus, what do you got?
Got nothing else but rapid shot again. I'm going to try and put 2 more arrows into the ooze.
All right, go for it.
11 and a 22.
11 won't ooze or Silas, so we'll let that one go. But right. 22 definitely will, so I'm going to roll a D100, go... high or low?
All right, going high. High.
Going high. 6.
Motherfucker.
All right. Silas takes 6 points of damage.
Okay.
I was like stuck in my nasal passages.
We're enjoying this way too much.
Silas, it is your turn, my friend. What are you doing?
God, dude. I guess ram my face again and hope I don't drive the arrows through my own brain.
I don't know how, but I swear Bevan is tanking those high-low rolls on purpose.
All right, roll a 1d4 there, Silas.
2 points.
That's just enough. Nice work. All right.
Go team.
Ruse is dead. Well done. All right. So we have...
I pull those 2 hours out of my face, glare at Klaus, and then keep them.
Oh, man. That's not cool.
All right.
Sorry I set your head on fire.
Okay, so what's the plan?
Silas, go open the door.
Yeah, since you're already over there and hurt.
How well done taking care of those birds, by the way, Silas. You really called the evil bird bath thing.
Okay,
I'll check the door for traps.
Okay.
If no objects.
The door is... Okay, go ahead and roll me a perception check.
Coming right up. Klaus rolls a 12.
Okay. Well, it's not trapped. It is locked. And there's a bunch of wavy lines carved into it. You think it's some kind of script. Do any of you guys speak in...
Fandinga, you speak wavy line, don't you?
I speak a lot of things. Usually, I speak of the pompousness of love. But... if my fucking computer will cooperate. I do
I'm sorry.
Bevan, you can't start this too, man.
We're talking the same time. I was trying. All right. Can I make an untrained linguistics check?
Go for it.
Also, I think he was trying to say infernal. Am I right, Nick?
That is right. I'm sorry. Yeah, I crackled.
Yeah.
You don't know what it's be lines.
So, let's see. Fandinga will make a...
I'm gonna pretend I know what it says. It says, "Worshippers of Torag, come on in."
Fandinga rolls a 22 for knowledge linguistics.
All right, so Fandinga, you're able to puzzle out most of it. And you may not know the exact syntax, but the flavor of it is that Rovagug welcomes you and wishes you eternal torment and suffering. Also, Torag sucks.
Yeah, pretty much. Klaus is right. It pretty much says, followers of Torag, come on in.
All right, so the door is locked. So you're going to have to try and pick it or break it down. I was thinking.
Thinking Fandingo's going to be over here. Out of direct line of fire.
I guess I'll try a pick locks.
Okay.
It's about time you did something vaguely roguish at some point.
I think shooting your own party member in the face is pretty roguish.
All right, roll me a disabled device.
There we go. Class rolls a 24.
Okay, that's good. You open the door. Good job.
Before we enter, is this temple made of stone or wood?
It is made of stone.
Darn.
I wasn't going to make it that easy for you, Rick.
All right, step in with my step in, and if anything moves, shoot it.
Okay, so
all right, I'll take a 5-foot step back.
All right. So, here we go. The room beyond is a 36-foot square. In the center of the room is a gleaming pool of water about 8 feet deep. 10-foot walkway stretches around either side of the pool to another closed doorway beyond.
This is definitely an evil pool.
Yeah, well, the bird baths are evil, then the pool's only going to be like a bigger concentration of evil.
You know something? Silas will unzip and take a nice long kiss into the pool.
I knew this was coming. I just didn't know.
You thought it was coming from me, though.
You're taking a page out of Klaus's book.
The words on the tip of my tongue were, "Klaus, don't pee in the pool." Don't have to worry.
Well, I thought about it.
So you relieve yourself into the pool. Wonderful. You feel better, I'm sure. And nothing happens.
Klaus, do not poop in the
pool. I consecrate this place in the name of Torbeg.
I was really hoping an ooze was going to latch onto his dick.
Yeah, because you just wanted to shoot him there, too.
That would have been awesome. A couple extra shakes.
That's also a whole different genre of podcast, Bevan. We don't have those numbers.
I think we could, though.
All right, so Silas has... he's all set. Nothing has happened.
Hey, Silas, why don't you go over there and try that door?
Everything else?
Yeah. Well, I'm not going near the pool now.
I'm not dressed for swimming.
I'm going to go to the other side of the pool. And all right, go ahead. All right.
Yeah. Well, as you cross the walkway, springboard trap bounces up beneath the floorboards and launches you off the ceiling.
Wait, what the fuck just happened?
You slip on a springboard trap. And that. So you shot straight up, bounced your head off the ceiling, you've landed back down on the ground. Deals 1d6 plus 2 points of damage to you for 6 points of damage, Klaus.
Ow.
Is there any reason to shoot him in the face?
Not unless you really want.
I mean, it's Thursday. That's a good enough reason.
Well, on the plus side, our rogue did find a trap.
That's right.
Hey, Silas, okay. why don't you go walk around the other side of the pool?
No, Silas thinks he will go and help up his good friend Klaus.
It was worth a try.
Very magnanimous of you, Silas. Very nice. All right.
Brandon, and by help up, I mean push in.
You really throwing him into the pool with the pee, All right, so. Safe to see if you can avoid getting pushed into the pool.
Is the springboard trap still there?
It's disarmed now. You're seeing the.
All right.
The spring wongling
just
back.
Just making sure. All right. So, is this a dexterity check or what?
Reflex save.
Good. Here we go. I've adjusted it for my help from Ron Weasley Jeremy.
Awesome.
I got 21. All right. 21 reflex race.
So you try to throw him into the pool, Silas, but he catches himself and he stays dry. All right. Brandon Thighmaster and Fandingo, what are you guys up to?
I think we're just going to follow in the wake of Klaus. He's doing a good job catching those traps.
At a reasonable distance.
At a reasonable distance. All right.
Yeah, cool. Fandingo's back here at the door. You guys, you're good. You guys rock on. You got this covered. I believe in you.
Brandon will move up.
I would like
find Silas.
Now I went to the other side of the pool so that I could drink from the fountain or from the pool without the piss part in it. So I'd like to taste the water.
Okay. It tastes kind of stale. Maybe it's been out for a while, but it's best as you can tell, just regular water.
Oh well, we can work on that.
If Ron Weasley Jeremy would like a drink, you know, I'd like to water him now.
Okay. By all means, water the weasel.
You're going to water your weasel where Silas just peed.
Okay.
So
no, on the other side.
By drinking from the pool of Rovagog.
The pool.
You've pretty much just given me free rein to kill you.
All right, Mr. To be fair,
you consecrated it. So this is Toreg's pool now.
Ooh, that's right.
Point. Very good point.
Damn logic. All right. Let him live with his Silas piss water in him.
All right. I would like to go check for traps on the door.
Okay. Roll me a perception check, please.
All right. Plus rolls is a 13.
Okay. No traps.
All free and clear. Somebody go open it. I'm moving over here.
You've got the weasel, right. Dude. Send the weasel.
Silas will come and open it.
Okay.
Please be. So, shit. I was hoping there was a trap.
All right. The chamber you've just opened is filled with dozens of corpses hung by the neck, their ropes disappearing up into the rafters above. The stench of rotting meat and bodily fluids fills the air, and the corpses sway slightly on the breeze as you open the door.
Well, they probably deserved it.
So, Fandango, who's standing back here at this door, is going to... let me check my inventory. Does anybody have, like, a metal spike or something?
Like an arrow?
Like an arrow. Somebody bring me a couple of arrows. Don't
Silas
bring them
two.
That quickly. Just need to borrow a couple of arrows for a little bit, guys.
Come and get them.
Fandango's going to take two daggers out of his inventory and use them to jam the door that we came in through open.
Okay.
That's some good foresight.
All right. The doors are now jammed open.
Who the hell let you on this adventuring party?
Well, we have like no one who can punch anything worth a fuck right now. So
hey.
You can sweep. Steady
on. You punch can sweep really my well. Entire gig.
We don't have anyone.
I want to be very clear here. As guest DM, you are entirely within your power to wipe this party. Just putting it out there.
Silas is stepping in.
Silas steps in. Okay.
Brandon Firemaster would like to, combined with his knowledge religion and what he knows about, I keep on mispronouncing Rubber Duck. What's his real name?
Rubber Duck. Yep.
Yeah, roll an intelligence to see if he can make the connection between the hanged people and the hangman's rope that Silas mentioned earlier that was around our friend's waist.
Make so a roll. So
I can always tell how well my intelligence rolls are going to go by how long it takes me to find it. Okay. Oh, rolls an 18.
Okay, so with your significant deductive powers there, you know that hanging people wasn't necessarily a main shtick of Rovagug, but the knot work that is on these people's nooses really looks an awful lot like what Jeb had around his waist.
Okay, I will relay that to my party for whatever good it will do them.
That is fascinating, but I'm more interested. Do these people look like blasphemers of Toreg?
I knew it would have absolutely no
They're probably worshippers of Toreg.
Are they adorned in Toreg symbols?
Not really. It's mostly
okay. Then they're blasphemers of Toreg. This is all good.
Blasphemers of Toreg. All right. Room right now. Is anyone going to be moving in with him or
start looking through some of their pockets?
Yet. Okay.
That was the most brilliant detective work any of us have ever done, and it's just completely wasted.
Mm.
Okay,
you see where the bard is, right? Right back here behind all y'all motherfuckers.
Silas, as you start rifling the pockets of your nearest corpse there, you hear three thuds in succession, and three of the corpses begin moving. They have... Hang on one second.
How are they moving if they're hanging from the ceiling?
They've fallen from the ground, or from the rafters. Their nooses are still on them, and these corpses have their heads hanging at an odd angle, seemingly unsupported by a broken neck. And a rotted several feet of rope hang from its neck and trail off behind it.
Oh.
You notice that its eyes have no pupils, but its gaze is locked on you. So, everybody, roll initiative.
Okay.
God, I hate Skype some days. All right, Silas rolls a natural one and gets a 7.
Fandango rolls a natural... Fandango just rolls a 7.
Brandon Firemaster rolls a 19. He's the only person who's paying attention to Brandon Firemaster was Brandon Firemaster.
Klaus rolls... All right, cool. Klaus rolls a 15.
So, the hanged men get to go first. All for Silas here. So, this one is going to move. And the noose around his neck lashes out as if it's alive. And, Silas, I need you to give me a reflex save, please.
All right. 15.
That's respectable. You just dodge the rope.
Evil rope can never tie me down.
All right. Moves up. It's just going to attack you with its claws. Okay, and your AC was a 16, you said?
18.
18, okay. So a 22, that one hits you, but the 10 does not. So the claws, one of its claws gets you for 5 points of damage. All right, and then this one is going to move and see what's going on out here. And upon reaching out here, he sees Klaus and Brandon Thighmaster. And actually, Brandon would be the first thing that he sees because Brandon is in line of sight like that. So, Brandon Thighmaster.
I'm also the thing that's most worth looking at. So,
well, absolutely. I mean, the oil you applied earlier is still glistening, which looks fantastic, I must say. I need you to give me a reflex save as well.
Okay. Brandon Firemaster rolls a 24.
Nice. All right. That you do the whole Matrix dodge thing there. That rope comes out and you just, you know, lean backwards. It goes right over your head. No problem. Okay.
Yeah. So, I know it's me first, motherfucker.
Well done. Alrighty. So that was the hanged men. Now it is Brandon Firemaster, your turn, sir. What are you doing?
Okay. I'm going to attack the corpse that just attacked me.
Okay.
Seems only fair. I'm going to use a flurry of blows. Let's see how that goes for me.
Oh, all right.
Wow. First attack is a natural 20.
All right. That's
and the follow-up attack is a 12.
Okay, well, the first one hits. Why don't you roll to confirm full damage on this?
Okay. What do I roll to confirm? Just a single attack?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So damage was 6.
Okay, no. So...
Oh, no, sorry, no. Damage was 10.
Yep, that hit. So 10 points of damage on the hanged man. Very nice. Okay. Boom. Klaus.
Klaus would like to cast a grease spell on... The 10-foot square area on the other side of the door.
Okay.
So the four squares on the other side of the door.
All right.
And so, take a... Well, no, I'll stand right here.
Okay. So you've cast grease. And out there. All right. Fantastic. Yes. Silas.
All right. Silas will step back 5 feet. And he will fire at the one who clawed him, and this will be a longbow, deadly aim, rapid fire, with the whatever that feat is that allows me to fire essentially 3 arrows.
Okay. And are we using the holy arrows of Toreg or these regular arrows?
You know something? This is a test by Toreg, so I will use the regular arrows.
All right.
Smart choice.
Okay.
First one is AC 17.
That hits.
All right. So the first arrow does 6 points. The second arrow does 9 points. And if the third arrow hits, it does 8 points.
All right. So minus six, minus nine, and minus eight. And that is enough to kill that undead. So one down. Nicely done.
Oh, that was quite straightforward.
All right. Oh, you're still hanging out by the door with the daggers. What you doing?
I'm going to take one step sideways and... Okay, there were three that moved, right?
Yep.
And this first one in the line over here by Silas was one that moved?
Nope.
Can you ping the one... that one?
X on it.
Yeah, the dead one. The one that's in the room with us. Okay.
And over here. And then this one. All right.
Fandango's going to take one step to the right and cast Hold Person on the dead guy that moved over in the line of three.
Okay.
And it gets a will save to negate.
All righty. So we'll save for that is plus four. And is that again the DC of what, 16 you said?
12 for this one.
12. Okay. 20 plus is 4. 24. He makes his save.
Well, shit. So all I'm holding is my junk.
All right. It is now the hangman's. And he's going to try and lock onto Silas using his noose. Silas, give me another reflex save, please.
You got it. 29.
Wow. All right. That was extremely well done. You stay there very artful, almost ballet-like. So,
Silas does a holy pirouette.
A holy pirouette of Toreg, as scored by Karishnikov. Very nice. Now, this particular undead who's next to you, the hanged man is attacking you with his claws. What was your armor class?
My armor class is, let me double check, 18.
18, okay. So.
Critical dodge.
All right, so he does not get, and he damages you for 5 points of damage.
Okay. Cool.
All right, Clout, you're up. No,
Brandon.
Go ahead. Brandon is up. Brandon went out of order there. So, Brandon, you're up first.
Yeah, I'm going to get some revenge on the old slasher zombie. Let's go for a flurry of blows again.
Okay.
Well, 225s for damage 7 and 10.
That is enough to destroy it. Well done. Nice. All right. So, that undead collapses to the ground in a heap. Okay, and so now, Klaus, it's your turn.
All right, do I have a clear line of shot at the dead guy to the upper right?
Not at the moment, no.
All right. Why? Because of the wall or because of Silas?
You want to shoot one of just the hanging guys, not one of the animated ones?
They're not all animated.
Yeah, it's just this one left right here who's animated.
Oh, shit. All right. Well, yeah, I'll shoot him. I'm going to take a 5-foot step to the right. And, I'll send two arrows into him.
Okay. Roll for it.
Pop, pop. All right. Klaus rolls 24 and a natural 1.
Okay. Well, the 24 is definitely going to hit.
I hit someone for 3.
All right, so that's 3 points.
Are you talking?
Yep, hear me now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. All right, cool. So you got them for three stuff. It's a star.
Yes.
And it is Silas's turn. Silas, you're up.
Yeah, sorry. I muted because my kids were yelling.
Oh, yeah,
okay. Silas watches, Klaus's embarrassment and decides to show him how it's done. So this will be another similar attack to the last one.
Okay.
All right, so the first one is AC 14.
That does not hit. Narrowly misses.
All right, and the next is AC 20.
That one hits.
And that does 11 points.
11 points of damage. Very nice. Okay. Fandango.
So Fandango's gonna move up here behind Brandon and take a look and make sure none of his party members need healing. Is everybody pretty much okay?
No, Silas looks like he's pretty beat to hell.
Yeah, but somebody whizzed all over the floor. I'm gonna bust my ass if I try to get to you.
I could use a little healing. I mean,
from what?
I got a spring trap. I got my face.
Poor baby. The thief got hurt doing his job.
I'm a rogue.
That's a pretty generous interpretation of doing his job.
I found a trap. That's the only way he does his job.
Yeah. I'll be over here. When the fighting's done, I'll heal you guys. Fandango's going to hide in the corner with spells.
Okay. Very brave. All right.
Nope, not a bit. Also, haven't been slammed into the ceiling or humped by dead guys.
So the hanged man is going to give up on trying to attach onto you with his noose. He is going to move up. This will provoke an attack of opportunity, Silas, if you want to take that.
Sure.
And also, he's just stepped on grease.
Oh, that's right. So let's give him a reflex save there. All right, so it's 1d20 plus reflex 2. Not a very good reflex save. 22, though, so he kind of just electric slides right across. Electric slides right across to Silas, who does get the attack of opportunity, so... Go for it, Silas.
This guy just frilla videos right up to you.
Yeah, it's a 14 AC. Again, missed.
I think when he slipped on the grease, it just merrily went over his shoulder there. Which is a 12, which does not hit your AC.
Nope.
So he rolled a 12, not enough to get Silas. It is now Brandon's turn.
Okay. We have the grease situation, which... I'd like to think shouldn't be a problem for my character. So I'd like to kind of body slide across the grease, if that's okay.
Go for it.
I'm going to body slide across the grease and tackle the undead. So I'm not sure how that translates into an attack, but I could just roll an unarmed strike. Brandon Flymaster rolls a 16.
And then your 8 damage is enough to destroy the undead. So
nice. Death by flying body slide.
Death by flying, greased flying body slide. Very nice.
Yeah, that's going in the notebook.
Greased is kind of part of the given circumstances of Brandon Flymaster, so, you know.
Okay. Yes.
Grease is the word that Brandon Flymaster heard.
There no other animated undead in here. Everyone else is just a normal corpse.
Retrieve my arrows and continue going through the pockets of the dead.
So, who needs healing?
Silas very much needs healing.
Okay.
I can use a bit.
I have three Cure Light Wound spells left for the day. So, how about I do one on Klaus and two on Silas?
Okay.
That sounds good. Yeah.
All right.
You
guys
all
still move into.
Sat there and watched him, like you watched us all beat him when he had a slime on his face. You know he needs healing.
Oh yeah, I forgot about
just
that.
Being passive aggressive.
I did set his head on fire.
Are you okay? You don't look that hurt.
Well, I mean, you never.
Now, Fandango, you do need to be in the room with him in order to cast that.
Yeah, I'm going to go over here.
Okay.
Do I have to make a reflex save, or can I just kind of scooch around the grease?
We'll let you scooch around the grease. That's fine.
All right. So, first heal spell on Silas is good for 11.
Okay.
And the second heal spell on Silas is good for 9.
All right. That's
nice.
Brings me pretty close to full.
And since we're not in combat or anything, I'll just wander over here and heal up Klaus for 11.
I'll do nicely. Thank you.
And now I am out of first and second level spells for the day.
Okay, so we send Fandango back to the ship.
Yeah, because if we need anything other than prestigitation, no direction.
we might need bait.
I was going to say, why don't you assume we're being attacked and preemptively run back?
Because
you can still cast Meat Shield.
I did. I cast it on Brandon.
All right. So, Rick's... Or Silas said that he was going through the pockets. The pockets all appear to have been thoroughly gone through already. So none of the hanged men or the corpses hanging from the rafters have anything on them for treasure.
Beningo's going to roll perception to see if he can find any loot of any kind
hanging around this place. Ooh, Fandango, okay.
Beningo perceives a 26.
Okay, so Fandango, your eagle eyes there reveal a someplace over on this wall. Something shiny.
Well, let's go over here and check it out. Not kind of okay. Sidling so, over as, you know, nonchalantly as possible. Hopefully Klaus is over here watching Silas.
Okay. So you found a small metal plate that's kind of covered up in dust. There's only a little bit of it that's exposed to the light, and that's what you saw glinting. When you touch the metal plate, it slides down, and it reveals three pictures of keyholes. And each keyhole has a letter written above it. And those letters are B, E, and G.
Beg.
Or backwards, Geb.
Or Geb.
Please, door open.
So they're keyholes.
Pictures of keyholes.
Pictures of keyholes.
Mm-hmm.
Even like a picture of treasure at this point would be fine. I'd take that.
Let's see if a knowledge dungeoneering is going to give me anything on this.
All right.
I'm climbing over there by next to Fandango.
Fandango rolls an 8 in his knowledge dungeoneering, so he don't know shit.
Nope. Fandango, give me just a regular intelligence check.
Probably fail on that bad boy. Oh, I don't know. It's not too bad. Fandango rolls a natural 1 for an intelligence check.
Well, you got a 5 total there from what I see, so that's good. You do know that...
No, a natural 1 is usually almost an entire fail.
Natural 1.
I know, but this is something he'd know. That's the thing. That's where I'm... all right, we'll let you...
Yeah, I'm pretty
puzzle
dumb.
It out there, Fandango.
Yep.
Klaus would like to kneel in front of the keyholes.
Oh, hey,
he knows
Klaus.
A thing or two about begging.
Okay, so Klaus is kneeling in front of the keyholes. All right.
Did that not do it?
Nothing right, happened.
I'm out of ideas.
Look, right. there's a picture of things. Do you know anything about this crap?
Well, Klaus can make an intelligence check.
Mm-hmm.
Klaus is pretty intelligent.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Klaus rolls an 11.
Okay. So you're thinking about keys, and you're thinking about B keys and E Bowl. Keys and G keys. And
Silas will wander over.
So
are what are you saying, Klaus? Is it music?
I'm thinking about holes and begging.
So that's an interesting theory that you just came up with there, Fandango.
Nothing's coming to me.
So since he doesn't really have any idea what's going on, while these guys are looking at the wall, Fandango's going to go over here, bust out his lute, and start playing a little tune.
And as you strike a B, an E, and a G, eventually, the keyholes light up, and this whole wall right here dissolves and reveals a small chamber beyond.
It is so perfect.
Worked.
He failed his intelligence check so hard, he temporarily forgot that he was a bard.
Wow, Klaus, that was some pretty good begging. Good job, man.
Yeah, well, I'm a rogue. Chamber. I'll do what I can.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Klaus.
I'm a rogue. The chamber beyond doors. Is small. That's what I do.
And you did it very well, I must say. All right. So this particular room is smaller. It's only about yay big and about 4x4 square there. And whoops. That was supposed to be a reveal, not a hide. There we go. Oh, and it is filled with chests and sacks of money.
Huh. Sweet.
Hold up.
Turn to Fandango. I believe this is your part here. But just remember, it's evil money.
I'm okay with evil money. Hey, Klaus, before you go running in there to set off every trap with your face again, let me try my glove of stuffs that we got on that last island.
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, everybody sees the treasure. Yeah, all right, I'm cool.
So, Bendingo's going to raise his glove that makes shit float in the air.
And Klaus is going to use it to detect magic as this is happening.
Well, I'm using a magical glove, jackass. I'm sure it's going to show magic.
You
my
do
magic.
You do detect Fandango's glove, but that's all you detect, Klaus.
So all of the golden stuff kind of floats?
Well, not all of it, because there's an awful lot, but the stuff that's on the surface definitely does.
Okay, well, nothing blows up. No, do any more dead things jump out of the ceiling?
No more dead things jump out of the ceiling. There is one large chest up in this point in the northeast corner of the room.
Hmm. Klaus, I think that one's all you, pal.
All right. Klaus would like to step a tentative foot on, through the passageway.
Mm-hmm.
I want to check for traps.
Okay, roll me a perception check.
Yes.
This is the same group that I actually opened a box that said scorpions and was surprised when scorpions came out of it. Are we?
We've learned. Klaus rolled a 9.
You don't see any traps.
You know what? We have a SDM that Drew has already told. Go ahead and kill them.
All right, Klaus rolls in.
Okay.
Starts filling his bag with some gold.
Okay. Are you checking out? Are you just grabbing the stuff that's loose, or are you looking in the chests? What are you doing?
I'm grabbing the stuff that's loose first.
Okay.
You're so, deeply unambitious rogue.
So Klaus is filling his pockets here. What are the rest of you guys doing?
I'll check out the large chest, just for curiosity's sake.
You open the chest, and it doesn't have any treasure inside. Instead, there's a ladder leading down past the floor and into what looks like a tunnel. But before you can investigate that any further, our friend Jeb comes back into the room. And he says, "Oh, I didn't expect you all to survive the hanged men. That's a shame now, isn't it? Normally, I just come in here and shoot the survivors and hang them up by their necks and put their loot in that their treasure chamber."
Where is he on the map?
He is right about here.
Okay.
So this means we're going to have to do things the hard way. And he reaches out and he grabs at a panel that nobody noticed over here on the right and pulls a lever. The door slams shut as Jeb ducks out of the room, and the room starts to fill with a gas.
Which room?
The large room. The room with all the hanged men.
God damn it, Brandon. I told you to lay off the broccoli.
I found this, I wasn't going to call it an escape passageway, but
it's like the anal excretions of Toreg.
I say, we've been cooped up on a boat together for a while now. We should be kind of used to this. But, yeah, guys, there's a way out here. Or, well, I say a way out. It's a suspicious, possibly evil tunnel.
Do you think there's evil at the bottom of it, Brandon, that Toreg would approve us eliminating?
I can't say for sure, but given our track record, yeah, why not?
All right, get out of the way! Silas will leap down it.
Okay, so Silas is out. Is anybody else going to join him, or?
Well, does it sound like he dies when he gets to the bottom?
He probably landed kind of hard. It was about a 10-foot drop, but no, he doesn't seem like he's dead.
Is there a way for me to seal it behind me so as to spare them the evil?
No, sadly, you do not see. Toreg did not bless you with something like that this time.
Fandingo is going to grab up some gold as much gold as he can before the gas threatens to overcome him, and then climb down the hole.
All right. So that's Fandingo.
Klaus is going to follow up the rear. How much gold did Klaus grab if he's the last one down?
Did you actually, are you leaving any behind?
I'm just shoveling it in until the person before me goes, and I'm going to follow along.
All right, we'll say you so probably managed to,
yes.
Yeah, sure, we'll say you managed to snag maybe 100 or 150 gold there.
Well, what if we, like, you know, clog up the tunnel until he starts to get woozy? Right.
All right. So everybody has gotten into the, not the escape tunnel. Okay. So you follow the tunnel for a short walk. It seems to be pretty well maintained. And it comes out near the beach, probably about a 5-minute walk from Jeb's shack.
Well, he's definitely finished masturbating. We know that.
Unless he went back for round two. All right. So we could either go back to the boat or we could go beat Jeb's ass.
Let's cleanse this island.
Yeah.
Let's steal his elf porn.
All right, I'm in.
Whoa, slow down. What's Jeb's shack made of?
Jeb's shack is nothing really fancy. Just looks like plain old wood.
Burn it.
All right. Yeah, let's burn it. Maybe he's in there. Maybe he's not. You know?
Wait. We got to get the elf porn out first.
Brandon Fymaster, the Templar of Many Fists. They're not big on revenge or pawn stealing, but I think we have a moral duty to ensure that he doesn't trap any more people behind us. So I'm down with fucking this guy up.
Are flammable.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that brings to the debate, but yeah, the format's probably up.
And if we burn the cabin, we don't get to steal any of his shit.
Well, I mean, if he's got gold, then that's not flammable.
Well, technically, if we kill him, we can just come back and take all the gold.
Well, yeah, I know that. and the former mags.
Yeah.
I'm saying, is this guy a badass? All right, fine. I'll let you, you know what? I'm Klaus Richter. I'll let you guys take the lead.
he's a crazy guy with a pair of with rope holding up his pants.
All right, Silas, charge on in there.
For Torak. We should grab the rope and squeeze the shit out of him.
While everybody's debating what to do, Brandon Firemaster is going to kick down the door and scream, "Justice!"
As you kick down the door, you find Jeb sitting at his table. He's not doing anything with the moment, but he does have a beer in his hand, and he's like, "Oh, you weren't supposed to survive that."
Yeah.
Well, this is
I feel like such a disappointment.
Both of those could be slogans for this podcast. You weren't supposed to survive that, and I feel like such a disappointment.
Yeah, none of these statements are new to us.
Yeah, I'm going to reiterate my my scream of justice and punch him in the face.
You know, I just realized we're doing all this right within like full view of the ship. You'd think they'd maybe help us, but no.
They don't like us very much.
It's fair to say that probably haven't thought about
the
it.
Map, or does it matter?
All right, no, it doesn't matter. Brandon, go ahead. Roll me an attack. Go ahead. You're doing your fist of justice here.
An arm strike that for hits. 12.
Okay, and that's 3 points of damage.
Yeah,
your punch just breaks his nose and drops him to the ground. He's whimpering. He's an awful lot more than you'd think he would for anybody else that you'd only dealt 3 damage to. And he says, listen, just don't kill me. He said, listen, the gas will have dispersed by now. You can go take all the treasure. Just...
Well, I'm not going to kill an unarmed man. I'll be honest with you. I didn't expect you to drop so hard. I kind of feel bad now.
Well, Silas is convinced that this guy is now, like, you know, a follower of Rovagug since he came in and tried to kill our asses. So I think we'll be doing the world a favor by killing his ass.
Well, maybe we should let him say his piece.
If you guys don't believe me, Silas will walk around the shack, and when he comes back,
so let's have like Klaus and maybe two of us can go steal the rest of the gold while one of us stays back here to make sure Silas doesn't kill this unarmed dude.
But Silas is gone. When he walks around the shack, the mighty arrow of the gods has returned.
Oh, well, the arrow of the gods is here. It's all fine now.
I hear there is justice to be dealt to an evil man wearing evil rope around his evil pants.
Yeah. But we know that you would never kill an unarmed man, Arrow, so it's fine. We want to go steal the rest of his shit, so will you stay here and make sure Silas doesn't kill him?
Sure.
Brandon Firemaster looks at the Arrow of the Gods with unadulterated hero worship, safe in the knowledge that he'd never shoot an unarmed man who was bleeding profusely.
Go on, junior adventurer. I'll take care of this.
Yeah, Brandon Firemaster is more than happy to leave the prisoner in the Arrow of the Gods. Sorry, you first, man.
Klaus is going to stick around with the Arrow of the Gods.
Fandango's going to go steal the rest of the ship. Brandon, you coming with me?
Yeah, sure. I'm more than happy to leave the prisoner in the custody of the Arrow of the Gods. I'm sure he'll be absolutely fine.
I trust that guy implicitly.
Yes. So I will accompany Fandango back.
Fandango.
All right, so Brandon, Thymaster, and Fandango go back to loot. And yep. Klaus and the Arrow of the Gods are still here with Jeb. So let's follow the Arrow of the Gods and Klaus for a moment. What's happening here, guys?
Klaus would like to hand Jeb his rapier as they hold this.
Jeb says, what do you want me to hold this for?
And I'd like to point blank rapid shot him.
Yep.
25
okay.
and 19.
He is a pincushion now. Fantastic. So Jeb is now on the ground. He's dead and is going to stay that way.
Oh, well, wow. When he does that,
you're in a... that,
the hour of the gods will scream out loud so that the others who are walking into the temple can hear, "No, Klaus, he can't face justice this way."
Klaus says, "You're in a post-existing condition, motherfucker."
Fendingo right. will look at Brandon Thymaster and say, well, that may have not have been our best judgment call ever.
Yeah, didn't take into account the whole Klaus element there.
And without the arrow,
Klaus would like to retrieve his rapier and the elf porn. And what else is in Jeb's place?
Well, not a whole lot, surprisingly. The elf porn, he's got a couple of bottles of ale, and that's about it.
That'll do. All right. The arrow of the gods stepped away. I guess I'll just drink some ale and wait. Look at elf porn.
Well, Silas will return and look down and see what you've done and be like, "So you fell on those arrows, huh?"
You want some ale?
It's evil ale.
All right, so we'll leave Klaus and Silas for a moment.
I wasn't going to give you any.
Brandon Thymaster and Fandango are back in the treasure room, looting the ever-living hell out of it, I'm sure.
Yep.
And so all things tallied, if you added up all the loot in the room, it would be about 20,000.
Oh, jeez.
I'm sorry, what? 20,000 gold?
If you added it all up, 20,000 gold.
Well,
that's a lot of body oil.
Yeah. Okay, so there are... I guess we should save a cut for Bjorg, because he did kill Cloak Boy, and Cloak Boy being pissy was kind of your thing.
Yeah.
All right. Suppose.
I'm just here to mule horse. I'll just carry what I can carry.
Oh, we're going to carry every fucking dollar of this. Yeah. We're going to figure out a way to carry this shit.
All right, well, after setting fire to the shack, then with Jeb inside, I think we'll probably get to the treasure room before they figure out how to get all that loot out. So I'll help them carry it.
I will say, so what happened to Jeb?
I heard some shouting.
He attacked me.
He attacked
me. I had to kill him.
Well, I guess if he attacked you. Wait a minute, he didn't have a weapon, and he was an old man that I just broke in the nose.
He did. Listen, you don't have a weapon, do you?
He has a broom.
I didn't check to see if he was awesome, so, yeah, okay.
He probably had a broom, too.
Yeah, there was probably a broom in that building somewhere.
Yeah.
So okay. I guess we all end up with, like, 4,000 gold apiece.
That is as much as I need to salve my conscience, so. I'll go along with it.
Silas, am I still carrying your gold, too?
Silas is still back at the shack.
I'll just tote Silas's share, too. I don't have enough taint to hide all this gold, though.
I can hold some of Silas's share.
You can hold Silas's taint. I'll hold his gold. Klaus, you can carry Bjorg's gold. You explain to him why you're keeping it.
Well, no, I don't want to carry Bjorg's gold. Then I got to give it back.
Exactly.
All right. So you've cleaned out the treasure room. You're back on the shore near Jeb's shack. Jeb's shack is burning, or pretty much burned to the ground at this point. Wow. All that's really left for you to do now is load up the boat and get back on the ship.
Yeah, load up. I say to Footstool, good news is we don't have to come back here again for any reason.
The better news is we got the health porn out of the deal, too.
What? Yeah. Nobody knows that.
Did you guys
see the elf?
No,
everyone's suspecting.
Yeah, we're assuming that you did not earn the elf horn.
Suspicious bulge in your pack and package.
You may be amoral, but you're not stupid.
So did we really just get like 4,000 gold each just for killing an old man on an island? I mean, that seems...
Awesome. For the record,
I'm not complaining. I want to clarify.
It's interesting that the only part that wasn't mandatory is what you consider the achievements.
Like, wait, we actually got something for that adventure?
We have now wiped out the population of more islands than fucking... than malaria.
I killed an entire island last adventure, and I only got 10 gold out of it, so this just seems...
I think most importantly, we finally have enough money to buy a ticket for the Arrow of the Gods.
We could spend a couple hundred of Silas's gold on that, I guess.
Oh, you think Footstool's going to let it go for only a couple hundred?
I don't care. It's going to be out of Silas's cut, so...
Fair enough. Nick, did you have anything else you wanted to do?
Nope, that's the adventure.
All right, that was great. I can't believe you got these guys to do that much in one game. Like, that would have been three, usually, I think.
That was unusually productive.
Yeah, someone would have shit in someone's mouth. That would have been terrible.
Well, we tried. We did piss in the holy pool.
I can't believe
it. And killed the evil birds.
And we shot Rick in the head a lot.
I thought that was just going to be the rest of the game, just us beating the shit out of Silas.
It would be our highest rated episode ever. Oh, man. Well, thanks, Nick. That was a great game. We appreciate you running it.
Yeah.
My pleasure, man.
I think now we're going to go ahead and switch over to the Q&A portion, where we take the questions from people who follow along the live blog. The live blog is every other Thursday at facebook.com/authorsanddragons. Not an ampersand. The word and. Facebook doesn't allow ampersands. Rick, would you like to kick us off?
All right. Our friend Chad says, okay, first off, huge fan of the podcasts, and it helps me make it through many days at work, and a big fan of your books. I think I've read something of each of yours. So now that he's done sucking up a little bit. Anywho.
Well, let him carry on.
What would be your favorite book that you read growing up? Mine was always Tom Sawyer. And that's him saying that. I personally actually didn't like Tom Sawyer.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. No question.
That was definitely one of them for me, but I don't know. What are we calling growing up?
Yeah, that's a hard one. Like teenage or like childhood? Let's just say teen or child. We got to pick one. Because that's a harder... At least that delineates childhood. A little bit.
Well, for me, childhood would be like The Chronicles of Narnia.
I read a lot of kids' stories, but then I read War of the Twins by Tracy and Margaret, and that's when I became a man. So that's kind of like...
Dude, I met Margaret Weiss at Dragon Con last year, and she was so sweet. It was really kind of one of those awesome things that only happens at big cons in the coffee shop. But it was really an awesome life moment because I loved those books growing up.
Yeah, they were great. They were, awesome.
I loved Gordon Corman books as a kid. I guess I could just pick any of them. Son of Interflux, that was always one of my favorites because it had some of the best weird characterizations I'd ever seen.
You know, I've read a lot. First of all, hey, Chad, I've seen him a lot online, school guy. I read a lot of the Hardy Boys adventures, you know, as a kid. Can't really say I liked them, so I'm going to say I actually spent most of my time reading comic books. So
there you go. For me, it was the Terry Brooks Sword of Shannara series. I read that probably when I was like in early junior high, and that was like just one of my favorite series. Really got me turned down to fantasy.
What's our next one, Rick?
Mark asks, why me? which I would answer, why
not? Fuck you, Mark.
There we go. We really opened a barrel of worms when we let Bevan just start cursing people out on the
I mean, you were kind of a dick to that girl back in college, dude. It's all been payback for that. I mean, her brother gave us a shitload of money to fuck with you.
All right, what's our next actual question, Rick?
All right. Ross asks, you know, would any of you like a game to be made around your stories or ideas? You know, what would make your ideal board game apart from D&D or Pathfinder?
I mean, I'm not going to really design a whole game, but I'd say if you threw like superpowers on a fun modern D&D or hell, NPCs into a classic D&D, that'd be fun, like as a skin, but I couldn't build one from the ground up.
I guess I could imagine build the vampire monopoly. It's like, instead of a chance card, pick a fuck you card.
I actually just started last
already
weekend.
Built around a game.
Yeah, I started talking with an RPG developer last weekend about doing some solo adventure campaigns in the Savage Worlds frame with some of my stuff. So, okay. I don't know, maybe. And I'll introduce all of you to Duricon Carolinas.
Cool.
Well, the best thing about HeroQuest is sort of any story can fit that kind of model. So I would just squeeze all my stories into a HeroQuest narrative, which is what I do in my spare time anyway.
I think I'd almost rather see mine done like as a Magic the Gathering kind of game. I think that would be pretty cool to be able to play like a collectible card game with, you know, my characters and get the boosts and stuff like that.
Are you a Magic guy, Nick?
Yeah, I don't play it as much as I used to, but I do enjoy playing it. It's a lot of fun.
I leave tomorrow for Grand Prix Richmond, where I'll be playing Magic for 3 days straight.
Oh, nice. Because
I'm a huge Magic nerd.
Fantastic.
I play a lot, and I'm really fat, so I really am a huge Magic nerd.
Comedy works on multiple levels, folks. All right.
If you can't self-defecate, if you can't have self-defecating humor, somebody else will shit on you.
I definitely heard self-defecating humor.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he said that on purpose.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
All right. Josh asks, do the free and no copyright for Pathfinder remain your reasons for not playing D&D or Call of Cthulhu?
Oh, okay. So what he's asking about is we originally started this podcast. I think I even talked about it on here or during one of the interludes that we picked Pathfinder because it was open game license, meaning there are free SRDs online, and so no one had to like spend money on books to get us rolling. And since that happened, some other stuff has become OGL open game license, like D&D 5th edition, which we've actually had conversations about, do we ever want to switch to? Excuse me. So, we're not still on it because it's the only OGL option. It's mostly just that everyone's kind of familiar with the system and they've got their characters built and we're lazy. And we don't want to learn a new system.
Well, it takes us far too long to figure out how to roll anything anyway. And Drew would have to edit like 17 hours worth of us fucking up if we switched systems at this point.
More hours. 17 more hours.
Right. Our game sessions are actually 24 hours long. Drew just whittles it down to an hour and change for you guys. The work we put this man through is amazing.
It's 23 hours of where's that button?
I'm basically digital Jesus. It's amazing.
That should go on a t-shirt.
There you go.
With no context.
Yeah. All right, well, that was we haven't gotten a serious question in so long.
We don't really know how to behave.
Oh. All right, Rick.
All right. Josh has two questions, so we'll skip the second one. Van asks, if each of you had to play as one of your characters from one of your books in a game with one another, what character would you play and why?
Fuck that. I want to play some people from other people's books. I want to play Sally from the Tome of Bills series.
I guess so. Let's establish real quick. Are we playing a modern D20 or are we playing classic D&D?
Let's say classic.
Okay. So our character's transported into classic D&D world. I mean, it's cheating, but I wouldn't mind playing some of the characters from Forging of Festus just because really powerful superhumans is fun. And I know some people will be like, why not superpowers? I don't like playing moral characters.
Yeah, I was going to choose the same thing. I mean, I got a couple of, like, you know, a couple of the bad guys, like, from the last book, like Alexander the Great, like 2,000-plus-year-old vampire. No morals, pretty much does what he wants. And it's pretty much the most powerful character in the book, so fuck yeah. None of this starting at first level bullshit.
Yeah, I'd play Cooper because
I'd be drinking while I play, and that'd be easy.
So far, we have very powerful villainous creatures and a half-orc who shits himself.
Yeah, I'm gonna take Carvin's route. I'd go with Dan Karaizu because he's a badass, but he's also a belligerent drunk. So easy to play.
I'd play Bubba because it's not much of a stretch. Great big fat redneck. Yeah, got it. Locked.
I'd probably play as one of my gremlin characters named Gear Stripper because he'd just go around and basically fuck everything up.
That would be pretty
so in other, words, you fit into this game.
Yeah.
Do we have any more, Rick?
Yeah, we got a couple more here. All right. Nathan asks, out of curiosity, does Silas want his paladin powers back? Also, if Torre could pick one member of the party to replace him as his paladin, who would it be?
I don't think any god has anything to do with this party.
Yeah. The god of go fuck yourself. I mean. Yeah.
Like, the god of dumb fuckery might love you guys, but the rest are...
And I mean, as far as Silas getting back his powers, I mean, you know something? In some ways, the fact that Torig is punishing him makes Silas happier.
And he doesn't actually seem to believe that he's lost his powers, judging by the number of times he tries to detect evil.
Which is funny, because he never tried that much when he had that power.
Plus, leading to the first island.
It works just as well.
Populated.
And we got one more.
All right.
And this is actually a pretty good one. Scott asks, for the GM, any chance you would take fan submissions for magical items that would go into the loot table? With this audience, it can make for a loot table almost as good as the tentacle random effects table you used.
Ooh. You know, that's not something I'd actually be averse to. I'd probably vet them and look them over, but there's a lot of potential fun there. We've been kicking around the idea of doing a Patreon at some point, so if we do, I think the ability to shoot those in might be a reward or something, because that could be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great.
All right, well, if that was the last one, then I think that wraps it up. Nick, please, what would you like to plug?
So my Callborn Urban Fantasy series is up to book 5 right now, but you can get the first 3 as a box set for half off the normal price. And book 6 will be coming out at the end of next month.
Sweet.
Awesome. Cool.
What's book 6 called?
Torment.
Very cool.
So pretty much what we just did to you for the last hour and a half.
This was a lot of fun, man. Absolutely not. This was great.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
This is a good one.
Thank you again for joining us, Nick. Everyone out there listening, please join us again for the next game in 2 weeks when the guests segments will end. We will return to regular Authors and Dragons. Hope you enjoyed this experiment. We had a lot of fun doing it. I really hope it was enjoyable to listen to as it was to play. But until next game, we'll see you then. Bye.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Authors and Dragons is brought to you under a Creative Commons license, meaning you are free to share this material so long as credit is given to the original creators, which is us, the people who are playing it. The opening music, Take a Chance, and closing theme, Master of the Feast, are both credited to Kevin McLeod of Incompetech.com and also used under a Creative Commons license.